Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Dinesh D'Souza joins us to push back on the falsehoods that are being spread about his film. And also, are you surprised by the reaction of the Roe versus Wade leak? That story seems to have disappeared, interestingly enough. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Or get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. At tpusa.com, you click on the Great Reset button, give a gift of any amount, and get my free book, The Conservative Response to the Great Reset. Very simple. Click on the Great Reset, give a gift of any amount, and get a booklet delivered to your home for a gift of any amount. I think you're really going to enjoy it. The Conservative Response to the Great Reset. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I want to reinforce this point, which I'd love your thoughts. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Have you been surprised, or have you been just right on pace, or are you kind of underwhelmed by the lack of protests that have happened with Roe versus Wade? That Roe v. Wade looking to be overturned. I mean, we expected kind of like a thermonuclear political event. That was kind of the rumblings, that it's going to be the biggest protest we've ever seen, and that just hasn't really materialized. Democrats haven't really received the boost, and it doesn't look like there's that much enthusiasm behind that. I mean, it's really interesting. I had someone that actually messaged me, a friend from Chicago, and they said, I actually forgot about the issue. And so did I. Not that it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, life is a huge issue. You guys know that. I'm constantly pushing forward on that issue. I'm not saying it's not important, but it wasn't kind of on the top of my news here. And I have the New York Times. It's part of my martyrdom, as Dennis Prager would say. I read the New York Times so you don't have to. Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine, Taiwan. Buffalo's black children are afraid it could happen to me, so hyper-racist stuff. Baby formula shortage, nowhere on the front page of the New York Times. And I just kind of have a couple theories with this. Maybe the abortion topic isn't this kind of polarizing topic that it once was. I think it could be polarizing, of course. I think it could be divisive. But what if America's actually more states' rights than we would have ever thought on this topic? What if this actually de-radicalizes the issue that otherwise we thought was more heated than any other issue in American politics? This was always like the third rail of the third rail. You're allowed to debate tax policy. You're allowed to talk about all these other things. But abortion, people always got the most passionate about. So you have to look at the news cycle as kind of like how much real estate you're able to allocate to certain stories. There's only so much time, so much oxygen you could pour into things. There's only so much that you are able to cover. You have to prioritize. And so the media makes decisions every single day. Kind of like the best analogy I would say is kind of birds flying south for the winter. They're all flying in the same direction, but they kind of form a V by looking horizontally at the other bird to make sure they're kind of all in unison. So it's not direct collusion, but it's certainly coordination. Now, the New York Times is kind of the lead bird leading people down south, to just finish the metaphor, the analogy, as I'm sure there's holes people can point in it. But it's a generally good analogy in the point that people say, oh, Charlie, is there kind of like a Monday morning meeting where the media gets on every, you know, they all kind of get on the same page? Not really. There are times where there is direct collusion between news organizations where they have specific talking points distributed, but that seems to be very, very rare. It seems to be more like coordination, where a couple of quote-unquote thought leaders get the talking points distributed, they pick them up, and they repeat them. It's kind of very much like Operation Mockingbird. We hear it, we internalize it, we see it, and there are kind of guardrails where bad behavior is certainly punished from the regime media. And I lived through this very briefly where a couple summers ago, I think it was the summer of 19, if I'm not mistaken. Was it the summer of 19? Is Andrew around? Yeah, where I wrote the piece for the Washington Post. And that's right, I wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post arguing to break up tech companies. The Washington Post, to their credit, I think they've changed since, they took the piece and they published the piece about kind of rescinding Section 230. And it, I mean, I could criticize Washington Post all day long. Here's what I will say. They have legitimate distribution. People read it. People take it seriously. I wish it wasn't the case, but it was the case. It is the case. However, when I published for the Washington Post, was that 19? Yeah, it was July 19. I was right. When I published for the Washington Post, the response was remarkable because it wasn't even attacking my ideas. The response was, how dare you, Washington Post, publish an op-ed by Charlie Kirk? It wasn't even like Charlie's ideas are bad. They just tried to invalidate the entire publication by saying, how dare you allow anyone like that? We saw this similar with Senator Tom Cotton when he wrote a piece for the New York Times and basically glitched the entire New York Times. It just kind of went into overdrive and overheated. If you guys ever spend time in the Arizona sun or in the summer, you ever see where your phone kind of gets too hot where it can't work? Have you ever experienced this phenomenon where it says your phone needs to cool down? It kind of has the temperature thing. That's what Tom Cotton did to the New York Times. Just kind of the whole, it's like, nope, can't work anymore. Too hot. Happens all the time in Arizona. Connor says it happens in my car sometimes. But the media seems to have kind of collaboratively agreed through coordination. And I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal. I have the New York Times here. The Roe v. Wade thing isn't a winner. And what's so fascinating is how many moderate Republicans for years told me that we can't talk about reversing Roe versus Wade because people will lose their mind and that there will be protests in the streets and we'll lose voters. And what that shows, and I want you to imagine for a second, I want to push your boundaries, how much of our action, how much of our potential boldness is held hostage by the belief the left is going to lose their mind and we're going to lose politically, when in reality that might not be the case. How many big, ambitious, exciting ideas could we be implementing to better the American nation that we kind of stop short because people say, oh, no, bad things might happen. Now, for years, I was told by moderate Republicans, Charlie, stop talking about abortion. Stop talking about it. We're going to lose voters. It's going to be cataclysmic and you'll unite the left. Well, I'm reading the New York Times just weeks after the leak, and it is nowhere to be found. Now, this was not the case with Floydapalooza. You know, during Floydapalooza, it was everywhere. Nonstop. Racial reconciliation, 1619 Project promotions, the New York Times. Robin DiAngelo, White Fragility. Ibram X. Kendi. Taha Nisi Coates. Nonstop drumbeat of promotion and profiling of stories, promotion and platforming is a better word to use than profiling. Nonstop. I'm expecting, but I'm not seeing in New York. Where in the New York Times is woman in Arkansas dreads that one day she can't have an abortion? Where's the story? I mean, I could write it for them. It's probably going to come at some point. But that's not to say they're not going to get re-excited about it before. They're not going to cover it. But if that story had pop, the Roe versus Wade being rescinded, it would be ubiquitous. It would be everywhere. Now, again, I think that if they didn't go all out on Floyd and race, all out on vaccines and masks, all out on Ukraine, I think the Roe versus Wade would have had more spice to the Democrats' recipe for the destruction of America. I think their base is legitimately exhausted. The whole nation is exhausted. We live in a fatigued time. And kind of like when you're in the fourth quarter of a sports game or you're in game seven, it's who wants it more? And right now, if you play out the metaphor, the left is tired. It's like they want a break. I'm reading this, and this is just very
standard New York Times Pravda about the Ukraine and all that stuff. I'm sure some of it's fine, but this is not the kind of energy of the activist base that I think they would have hoped. I just find it interesting. I'd love your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I receive so many texts from people, Charlie, Roe versus Wade is going to make us lose the House. Well, a couple weeks later, no one's even talking about it anymore. Maybe everyone who told us not to do bold, ambitious, and good things, they were wrong. Have you ever heard of American Wagyu? No, it's not a superfood that will make you live forever, or the name of a newest TikTok dance, terrible app. It's some of the sought-after best beef in the world, and I can get you 2 free pounds of it. Look, I had the Wagyu here. It is unbelievable. For a limited time, Good Ranchers is giving you 2 pounds of American Wagyu burgers for free with my code Kirk. I'm telling you, these burgers, if you have anyone mad at you, just give them one of these burgers. It's what I call reconciliation. That's how good these burgers are. Let me tell you, this stuff is incredible. Not only is it the best burgers I've ever tried, but my wife and I, we're even thinking about making tacos, meatballs, and producer Connor, he's cooking it at 3:30 in the morning. At 3:30 in the morning, he's cooking Wagyu. And when you add Good Ranchers Wagyu, it makes everything better. If you do not know this, Good Ranchers sells 100% American meat that is steakhouse quality. That means you can visit goodranchers.com/Kirk to get a box of American meat and get 2 pounds of free American Wagyu burgers. Free shipping added to your order. Trust me when I tell you, the perfect way to kick off summer is with these burgers and everything else they sell. From boxes like the Ranchers Classic, their best-selling combo of beef and chicken, and their new prepper kit. That's right, they got a prepper kit to help you stock up on food to make sure you have the security you need. Everything is delicious and high quality. With meat prices soaring, I love that when you subscribe, you lock in the price and get $25 off every box. So as long as you're subscribed, your price will not change. 2 pounds of free Wagyu burgers and zero inflation. Just go get both with my promo code Kirk. If you don't buy the meat in your house, then tell the person who does to grab 2 free pounds of Wagyu burgers today before they're gone. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. So let's go to Bill Gates. So Bill Gates is at the World Economic Forum. And how this guy ever got in charge of being in charge of health is just beyond me. And the courageous Joe Rogan has one of the best the best takes on this. Why do we trust Bill Gates on health again? Let's just first set the table with Rogan talking about Bill Gates. Play cut 47.
When a guy like that says that, I'm like, are you making money because of this? Like, why are you saying that? And by the way, you look like shit. Like, because if you're eating those plant-based burgers or whatever the fuck you're doing, like, you're obese. Like, a guy like that telling people about he's got these breasts Moops. And this gut, and I'm like, this is crazy.
You can see why they hate Joe Rogan, the courageous and the brilliant Rogan. I agree with him on very little on many issues, but man, is he talented. And when he goes after Bill Gates and all these globalists, it's like, wait, so Bill Gates, like the guy that looks like incredibly unhealthy is the guy that's lecturing us on health policy? You would think that if you're worth like $110 billion, you'd get a trainer, supplements. I have to say, like Bezos, to his credit, he certainly is big into the biohacking thing. Like Bezos probably has a supplement guy. He has a trainer. He has a nutritionist. Like he's jacked. Like Bezos has it going on. Like Bezos used to be low energy and beta male. And he's like, I got $150 after $150 billion. Like we're going to go after it. And he looks good. I mean, Bezos is not my guy at all, obviously, but I mean, just the whole thing, it's just laziness. It's sloppiness. It's like, Bill Gates, if you're going to go on a worldwide tour trying to convince people to improve their health, you're not exactly winning people over where you're just kind of like incredibly weak and overweight. No, wait, Rogan says the best. So Rogan, by the way, is lecturing us about vaccines. Let's go to cut 45, where Gates is now admitting the vaccines we have are no longer good at infection blocking. Play cut 45.
You know, as we do come up with vaccines, we want vaccines that are infection blocking and long duration, which today, you know, the vaccines have saved millions of lives, but they don't have much in the way of duration, and they're not good at infection blocking.
Oh, wait. So if they're not good at infection blocking, would it be fair to say that they're a treatment, not a vaccine? This is just the most important and most operative follow-up question. And so he says they save millions of lives. Say, hold on a second. How many people have been harmed by the vaccine? Very legitimate question. According to VAERS, according to Pfizer data. And then additionally, and more holistically, how would the vaccine hold up if it is a treatment, which is the proper way to categorize it, a highly risky treatment and not a very good one? How does that treatment stand up against other interventions that we're not allowed to talk about, Mr. Gates, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, monoclonal antibodies, intravenous therapy, vitamin D booster shot, ozone therapy, and many others? So Gates admits it doesn't prevent transmission. The point of inoculation is to try to get your body exposed enough that it starts to build white blood cells, that it recognizes the potential virus so you don't get infected in the first place. If, you see, they had to lie. This is a very important thing. They had to lie about the vaccine in this sense. They had to tell you this noble lie in their mind, as Plato would call it, a narrative of deceit, because as soon as they would say that the vaccine doesn't prevent infection, well, then actually, from a technological, medical technology point of view, it ceases to be a vaccine. Therefore, it no longer gets its immunity protections from the federal government. Therefore, these companies could be sued into oblivion for the adverse events and reactions. And then, if there were other treatments available, which they said they were not, which is exactly why they had to punish ivermectin, exactly why they had to go after hydroxychloroquine, exactly why they had to suppress the conversation of vitamin D booster shots. But now Gates is like, oh, yeah, it's actually not good against infection. Then is it actually a vaccine? Or is it a vino, a vaccine in name only? I just came up with that, like a rhino. Which, again, I'm not even getting into the whole Gates thing where he says it saved millions of lives. There is some evidence to show that if you do not have adverse reactions and you don't drop dead of, you know, deep vein thrombosis, or you don't drop dead of a heart attack, or you don't have other adverse events, that there are some studies to show that the vaccine very well could potentially produce some white blood antibodies. But that is not at all the same thing as, is it better than the other treatments and prevents potential infection? And Gates now admits that. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. 2,000 Mules is taking the world by storm. The number 2,000mules.com, it's the Dinesh D'Souza film, research done by True the Vote. We just had an unbelievable event with Dinesh here in Phoenix, Arizona. It was like 2,000 people for 2,000 Mules. And with us right now to kind of give an update on how the film is doing and also kind of go through some of these ridiculous fact checks that have emerged is the great Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, always a pleasure, and was really fun to be in Arizona. I mean, the level of energy, people were really fired up, and they want to see some real change come out of this. They want the movie to be the propeller, but only the first step of a lot of things that have to happen next.
Well, you've been doing a great job, and we're starting to see, I think, a change in how the media is covering this. You're starting to see kind of a validation almost, where they are covering it now in the Washington Post and the Daily Beast, albeit they're doing it sloppily, dishonestly, and in a way to try to delegitimize the film. But I think it does the opposite. I think it actually further platforms the movie. Let's just talk more broadly, then we can get into specifics. What's your reaction on how this movie is being covered by the mainstream media?
Well, it seems to me that they went in two phases. In the first phase, they unleashed some fact checkers, PolitiFact, Ali Swenson, AP, a couple of other articles, and they tried to be dismissive, like geo-tracking doesn't really work, and those kinds of things, which were kind of manifestly absurd. And I think even the left realized that's really not going to do the job. So now they've unleashed their bigger guns, Philip Bump of the Washington Post. There's a big New York Times article that's seemingly underway, hasn't come out yet. And NPR tried to sort of get us on the issue of an ancillary murder that's discussed in the movie, as if to say, you know, we lied about it. So there's sort of a second wave of liberal attack, much more detailed, tries to be more sophisticated. But I think it's really not landing a real glove on the movie either.
Yeah. And so kind of part of their case is that, let's just start with the main indictment, that if this was true, then the movie would be invalidated, is the technology of which the entire thesis is built upon, which is geo-tracking, geolocation data. They're saying it's not accurate. You can't use it, even though law enforcement used it to find the January 6th protesters. They used it to obviously solve the murder in the film. They've used it in many different cases, but for whatever reason, you can't use it when it comes to election fraud. What's your reaction to that accusation?
Well, let's grant the accusation for a minute, just for hypothetical purposes. And let's say that geo-tracking is only accurate to within 30 feet. This is basically Philip Bump of the Washington Post. Well, the beauty of what True the Vote did in their search algorithm by saying we're going to try to find mules who went to 10 or more drop boxes is that if you are within 30 feet of 10 or more drop boxes, I think it's safe to say that you're up to no good. The reason is that these aren't post office boxes. You don't go to drop bills or write your mom. These are ballot drop boxes, the only purpose of which is to receive ballots. Again, a lot of the criticisms of the movie, things like, well, maybe people are delivering votes to family members. Well, again, why would you go to 10 or more drop boxes to do that? The geo-tracking, in fact, is very accurate. It's accurate to within really somewhere between 18 inches and 2 feet. But you don't even need that kind of accuracy for a drop box. You just want to basically place someone right in front of the drop box. And in an age where the CDC is using geo-tracking to see, for example, if people are maintaining social distancing of 6 feet, well, I mean, how could you do that if geo-tracking wasn't accurate to within 6 feet?
Well, and then there's also a very simple counter-argument to Philip Bump on the Washington Post, which is, okay, then why would they go to one Dropbox after the other immediately after the other? So it'd be one thing, yeah, if they were an election worker, then okay, over a long period of time, they might be going to an election, taking, you know, taking lunch, but no, they are going, their pattern was Dropbox to Dropbox to Dropbox to Dropbox to Dropbox. So it wasn't just that they did 10 Dropboxes. That's bad. But they did it consecutively. Like that was, they were almost on a, they were on a drug run. Like they were on a mission. Like I have to hit every single one of the boxes and check them all.
And not only that, but a lot of them would hit some drop boxes and then they would return to one of these vote stash houses or left-wing organizations to pick up more ballots and then go on to more drop boxes. Let's be clear, geo-tracking can tell the difference between someone who's stationary in front of an object and someone who's going right by it. So when people say things, some of the fact checkers, well, these are just cab drivers driving by or moms going back and forth to soccer practice or whatever for their kids. No, geo-tracking is not going past a Dropbox and onto a library. It's going to a Dropbox, back to your car, onto another Dropbox, back to your car, and onto the next one.
Yeah, and so then they also, they can't refute the video evidence. And additionally, they also can't refute the time. So 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. So that would immediately, just by logical analysis, disqualify the mom going to soccer practice. And so you kind of asked Philip Bump from the Washington Post or any of these charlatans that cover this film, like, let's just put on kind of our common sense hat here. You think that going to 15 drop boxes between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m., also being caught on camera and doing that over and over again, and then also going to a Democrat nonprofit organization is not reason to believe that there might be some smoke here?
Well, what happens with these guys like Bump and others, Tom Dreisbach of NPR and so on, is they make individual criticisms, which if you hadn't seen the movie, are plausible on their face. And so they'll say, for example, that isn't it common for people to take photos of themselves after they voted? They're very proud of exercising their citizenship duties. Well, yeah, but we don't see on the video people taking photos of themselves with an I voted sticker. We see mules dropping in ballots and standing behind the camera, taking photos of the ballots going in. Now, that would much more plausibly be explained, like I got to show that I didn't just go throw out the ballots in a trash can. I did my job. Look, here I am taking photos of the ballots. This is why I need to get paid. That's a plausible explanation of what they're doing. And the rival explanation makes no sense. Similarly, the gloves. Yeah, if all the mules from the beginning to the end were wearing gloves, you'd say maybe it's COVID. But when you see mules not wearing gloves in the early voting, not wearing gloves on election day, but then they start wearing gloves at a certain date in December for the Georgia runoffs, and they're doing it right after an indictment in Arizona where the FBI is able to bust some bad guys because they left fingerprints on multiple ballots. And then the word goes out among the mules, let's start wearing latex gloves. So which is a better explanation of the facts as you see before you? Obviously, it's not the COVID theory. Obviously, it's the let's make sure we don't leave our fingerprints on the ballot theory.
Well, and then they also, yeah, they just take them off immediately when they're, I mean, that's the gloves serve their purpose, which was the purpose of anonymizing them. So then some people on the right say they're not convinced, Dinesh, because they didn't see mules going to more than one drop box all throughout videos. You have that video. You will release that video. But you also are very clear not to concede the point as if that is totally necessary to prove the broader picture. Talk about both of those particulars.
Yeah, it's not necessary because in a sense, you could say that just for the same reason in a murder trial, DNA evidence or fingerprint evidence is better than eyewitness evidence. Why? Because it establishes unmistakably that you were there. You're at the crime scene. Now, with eyewitness evidence, somebody could be mistaken. You look like somebody else who's similar features. But if you leave your DNA on the crime scene, you were there. Similarly, if you have a serial killer, for example, go to five different homes with his cell phone and he's geo-tracked, and you can establish definitively, look, he was there because his phone was there. Now, at the third home or the fourth home is the only home where you happen to have a video camera. And so the geo-tracking tells you he got to that home at 2 a.m. in the morning. You look on the video, boom, there he is. What's he doing? He's up to no good. So you have clearly established, based on the geo-tracking alone, the presence of the phone at that location. And then it is corroborated by the video that you do have. Now, obviously, if there were video at all the other locations, you would expect to find him on the video. But what if there's video at only one Dropbox out of 10? Then the mule who goes to 10 Dropboxes is only found on the one, but he's found on the one at the exact point that the geo-tracking says his cell phone was there.
Yeah, and so for some people on the center right that aren't on payroll for the propaganda media, what I'm really disappointed in is that this movie is now confirmation of a very obvious gut feeling that none of this made any sense until now, right? So we came up with terms like ballot laundering. We were kind of confused how Donald Trump was able to win 26 out of 27 of the bellwether counties, but was not able to win the White House. There was a lot of confusion around all of that. Remember that how Republicans advanced in the House considerably, but they didn't have those kind of tails in the places necessary. But what you're able to demonstrate, though, is not just in states, and I want to make this very clear, is that the kind of running up the score, the increase, was in very particular counties in states, even more in particular parts of the counties in states, where it wouldn't have been able to be picked up. For example, these were heavy Democrat areas as they were. So this is the argument that some people make. Well, Charlie, why didn't they do this in all the House races, right? Well, because they're in more suburban districts or rural districts where this sort of behavior would have been spotted probably by people. This is not where if you're doing this in downtown Fulton County, where this might be going on for quite some time, it could kind of blend in. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, there's no question that these techniques have been perfected by Democrats over a long period of time, but they've been perfected at the smaller scale. So, for example, it's been well known that absentee ballot fraud, mail-in ballot fraud is the most common type of fraud. But in the past, it was a relatively small portion of the overall election. I think what happened in 2020 is the Democrats realized we've got a golden opportunity, and that is we can ramp up the fraud 20-fold, 50-fold, and all in areas where there's not like a Republican in sight. And I think this also, looking back, explains the kind of smugness of the Biden campaign. campaign. Not only did he not really campaign, it never felt like he had to. It's almost like someone told him, listen, you got this in the bag. Don't really worry about it. It's kind of a formality. Sure, 8 people show up at your rally, but don't freak out because we've got this kind of locked down. So this was a case where the Democrats were able to set up a procedure of cheating. And Republicans, even though they sort of anticipated it, did not exactly know where it was going to happen and were not able to bust it at the time itself.
Pay very close attention, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We're now facing severe food shortages, high inflation, and outrageous fuel prices. Some people are saying there's a looming recession and possibly things could get even worse. Are you prepared? Do you have enough emergency food stored up for months and months? If not, go to preparewithkirk.com. You'll save $150 on a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Be sure to get at least one kit for each person in your family. Your 3-month emergency food kit gives you a wide variety of delicious meals every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks for 3 full months per person. If the worst happens and you don't have this emergency food kit, you'll regret it. So go to preparewithkirk.com right now to save $150 per 3-month food kit. Act quickly because these kits are selling like hotcakes. Your order ships fast and arrives discreetly in unmarked boxes. You get free shipping as well. So go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. You're 9 meals away from anarchy. Prepare yourself at preparewithkirk.com.
Dinesh, why is the conservative media, some of it, completely silent on 2,000 meals?
Well, I think with Newsmax and with Fox, one possibility, and I'm only speculating here, is a legal jeopardy. Now, there is, in fact, no legal jeopardy because these networks are being sued by Dominion over their allegations or having aired allegations about machines switching votes and things like that. Now, as you know, there's none of that in this film. So I almost feel like the lawyers who blew it the last time and are now in this extremely costly litigation are going to Fox and trying to cover their butts by saying, let's not touch this issue. Whereas, in fact, there's no reason that they can't cover this as a legitimate story. Again, no one is saying that they have to endorse it or embrace it. We're just saying it's really odd that when Dinesh is able to have a 10,000-word conversation with Philip Bump in the Washington Post all about the intricacies of 2,000 Mules, that somehow even the name can't be mentioned by any of the hosts on Fox News.
Yeah, and so I just want to give a shout out to Salem, the Salem Media Group, for their courage for doing this film. Honored to be part of Salem. It really tells me a lot about the company that Salem is, that they put their name behind this and that they've enthusiastically helped promote it. But some of the other objections here from Philip Bump, I mean, I could go through them here, Dinesh. For example, they say that there's a sweeping claim at the end that all ballots, these 2,000 mules submitted, are for Biden but none for Trump. There's no way to know that, but they jumped to that conclusion. Of course, we know that these are in heavily Democratic trafficked areas, so you can assume even 90 or 95% would skew Democrat. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, one way to think about this is that imagine if there were an identical operation that was being organized on the other side. And so let's say, for example, Michael Moore made a film and he shows massive paid ballot trafficking and the mules are going to places like the NRA or the Heritage Foundation and collecting ballots. And that these ballots are being, and when you look at the population of mules, you discover most of them belong to a handful of massive evangelical mega churches. I mean, would the Democrats have any doubt about saying, wait a minute, this is Republicans cheating, they're cheating to deliver Republican votes? It'd be obvious that that was the case. So here, when you look at the fact that these are Democratic areas, number two, these are far left-wing organizations serving as the so-called vote stash houses, and three, there's a considerable overlap between the mule population on the one hand and the kind of Antifa BLM riot population on the other. Yes. It's pretty obvious that this is a left-wing operation aimed at delivering votes for Joe Biden and the Democrats.
So in closing, Dinesh, I believe this film is hitting a critical mass. The chatter is only intensifying. You know, some films get less popular after the release. Films that have real stickiness, that's where you really got to pay close attention. Where it's actually growing, and I'm sure your numbers are showing it as well. It's back in theaters, actually. People can now go see it at specific theaters. Where are we at with this film? Do you think that the potential impact is only just beginning?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I think the idea, this is a film that was made to draw attention to this really critical issue. And I was also careful, Charlie, if you notice that this is a film that, although Trump, it vindicates Trump. Trump, as you know, was enthusiastic about the film. But Trump is not present in a whole lot of the film. In fact, out of 90 minutes, I would say probably less than 2 minutes features Trump himself. And contrast this, for example, Dave Bossi's film, which is about 45 minutes, called Rigged, has a long interview with Trump. It's about 10 minutes in the movie. And the reason I did that was because I wanted to emphasize this isn't just about Trump. The votes are being stolen from the American people. They're a subversion of democracy itself. So, again, this is an issue like free speech that really transcends politics. I think one reason the left is trying to block its own side from seeing the film. I've seen headlines in places like Mediaite that say, we've seen this film, so you don't have to. I think the left is worried that if Democrats saw the film, they would freak out, because even Democrats don't want to win by cheating.
That's exactly right. Number 2000meals.com. Check it out, 2000meals.com. You can watch it on Rumble Locals on Dinesh's Locals channel, exclusively on Rumble Online, also salemnow.com, or just go to a theater and check it out. We are doing a showing with Dinesh, I think, this weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, and there's going to be some phenomenal energy and people there. So, Dinesh, keep up the wonderful work. We have your back. We've been defending the film all throughout this entire process, and I believe it's just beginning to hit a critical mass. Thank you so much, Dinesh.
Charlie, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We got your back. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.